To the book of Romans, that's in the New Testament, chapter 1. This morning I'm going to whet your appetite a little bit, what I'm going to teach on for the rest of the year, and maybe beyond. And it has to do with the spiritual battle that is taking place, which is paralleled with what we are observing in our physical realm. For some of you, maybe that is a little bit scary. That's kind of, that's spooky. That there is a spiritual realm that is as real as the physical, and it is not somewhere up there. As a matter of fact, the spiritual realm is around you as much as the physical realm is around you. It's as real. You cannot touch it, you cannot smell it, you cannot feel it, but you can see the effects of it. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing one of the lengthy letters, and that's what it was, a letter, trying to tell the people what Solomon 1,000 years before penned. There is nothing new under the sun. What has happened is happening and will be happening. Man has not changed much. And here he lays out the groundwork. We're going to dig right into verse 18. We're going to read 8 verses all the way down to 25. And then I'm going to have a few questions for you, because they're all related to what would happen if we would have spiritual eyes. What would happen? Here is Paul, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, for they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." How many would have to say, this is a motherload of information, all combined? I can summarize this morning's sermon, then we go into details and debone it. These verses here described the globalists of the 21st century to the T. I mean, to the T. And if you have not recognized, we're living in that globalist thinking. Well, the obvious question would be immediately, what is globalism anyway, and why is that subject important? Pastor, aren't you just obligated to preach the gospel? Well, if Hosea, the prophet, would walk the streets of America today, he would have the same message he had when he walked it 2,700 years ago. My people perish for lack of knowledge. God's people today have chosen not to face that which stares at them, but rather to ignore it, or to kind of talk it away, or maybe say, you know, everything just will pan out all right. But how many of you know that would not work well? So this morning I put a little list together of headlines I have compiled over the last 6 months. These are headlines in American newspapers, headlines on the internet, and headlines around the world. So here they are. And then we're going to debone it. Okay, how many have ever heard the word the deep state? I only thought there were states, but no deep, but there's a deep state. Okay. These are, by the way, words which you haven't heard 25 years ago, in the headlines for sure. The shadow government, the world government, the hidden agendas of the elites, the power of global corporations, social media censorship of conservative voices, the mafia and the television networks, these are not my words, I took that out of headlines, the mouthpiece of the global elite, the major newspapers, the dysfunctional government around the world, witchcraft and sorcery at the highest level of governments, manipulation of global markets by major banks, like it would be new, currency wars, man-made food shortages. We are at the brink of World War III. How do they know? How globalists are taking over the world's power centers. Deep state occultism. Shocking revelations about Satanism in the US Capitol from WikiLeaks. The supernatural truth behind the Trump derangement syndrome. Never heard before, but what's in the shadow government 2 miles from the White House? Hidden truth about Pope Francis and the Catholic Revolution that is threatening to split the largest church in 2 camps. The merge of modern globalism and progressivism with deep roots in Marxism and Darwinism. Woo! How many of you have read some things like this too? Okay, so you read them. What are you going to do about it? Yeah, you're going to do a praying for sure. The question is, what does all these things have to do with biblical truth? And how would it look like if God, by his divine intervention, would give us for 24 hours spiritual eyes only, and we would see what really is going on behind those headlines? How would you tackle the next day? If you would have one, most of them would have a heart attack. But you need to understand globalism is not a new word. It's actually a biblical word. Long time before the 21st century came along, there were biblical characters who had the same idea that globalism is the answer. Here is the description of the biblical take on globalism. Globalism is a secular humanistic religion, focus on religion, that is empowered by the spirit of Antichrist. Globalists push a global value system that is radically different from a Christian value system. At least that's the way I see it. I think I can prove it from the Bible. Why? Globalists seek a boundary-free world. But God said it is best for man if they are living in such a way that they have boundaries. If you would recognize that even in the book of Acts, the apostles were preaching, and in chapter 17, verses 26 to 27, where the apostle Paul is talking to the elite of those days in the Greek Empire, he said, and he made from one man every nation. Question, who made the nations? So if a globalist agenda wants to take the borders down so there are no nations, is that for God or is that against God? And I'm not making political statements. I don't care who is in power. If they got enough power, they're all corrupt. every nation of mankind. For what reason? To live on all the face of the earth. Having determined, this is God's word, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. God gives a nation the time how long it stands in existence and gives them very clear boundaries where they can be on this earth. No man has the right to change those boundaries, but man always did. Why? Why did God do it? That they should seek God and perhaps feel the way toward him and find him. The purpose for God to make nations is that those nations individually and the people in the nation corporately seeking God. Because God one day will judge the individuals as well as the nation and its leaders how they have been ruling. There will be no escape. So God set the boundaries. So how many of you would have to say the big slogan today in America is America first? Maybe it's a slogan, but the bottom line is what the president of the United States today says is a nation without borders ceases to be a nation. Sorry, but he's right. That's what the Bible says. And if God wants to take it down, he will take it down. If he wants to expand it, he will expand it. Global government wants to take all this out. This is why I call it, it is a religion. Any movement away from God's prescription for living on this planet is by definition demonic. Let me say it again. Any government, primarily global government, that says that we can live on this planet differently than the way God ordained it, is saying things that is coming from a demonic realm that is anti-God. Every time. So you probably have heard, and they're going to give you a lot of headline news that still kind of goes in your mind and put it into the biblical perspective. You and I need to understand we have only so many preachers in the world who preach the true gospel. But there are 500 million plus tweets every day in this world going on. Tweets. They don't preach the gospel normally. You probably have heard the big discussion that YouTube, Apple, Facebook, and Twitter are going after the Christian leaders by censoring them or shadowing them or whatever word they want to call. Shadowing? I heard the word shadow government. Needless to say about the major newspapers, not just in the United States of America, but around the world, are pushing the global agenda on overdrive. You and I may say, I don't want nothing to do with it, but how many of you know you live with both feet on this planet? And by the way, as citizens of the United States of America, you have obligations. Didn't you pledge allegiance to this country? I don't know what the big discussion is about taking a knee. I have no problem with taking a knee if it's before God. Go for it. The English writer Evelyn Beatrice Hall is actually the one who penned those famously proclaimed words. I disapprove, she said, of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. You may disagree with all the things that is being said, but you, as Christian, you need to defend the right that somebody can say what they want to say. That's freedom of speech. In America, we will call that the First Amendment. And those of you who maybe don't know are primary documents, you might should read them again. Because I preached a sermon not long ago to you, the grace of God's ultimate purpose is to set people free. Remember that? And if he sets you free, you have all the freedom in the world before God. You can say what you want to say. You can do what you want to do. You just can't choose the consequences. We will call that free will. As a matter of fact, it is the foundation of the image of God. If God's images on this planet cannot say what they want to say, then God could not say what he want to say. But that is what the globalists want to do. They want to say God is not the one who want to listen to. He doesn't have the right to say how a marriage should look like. He doesn't have the right to say that two men cannot sleep with one another. He has no right like this. Well, no wonder the church says you don't have the freedom either. You have a limited freedom. This is not biblical. This is playing right into the hands of the globalists. So in order to give you the kind of the background, let me challenge you with a few things which normally swirl in our heads, but I have to tell you, no matter how sincere they swirl, they're still not biblical. How many of you have ever said, well, I'm glad there's only one God? That's not biblical. I can prove it to you. So, Pastor, are you telling me there are many gods? Yeah, there are. But there's only one Almighty God and only one Creator. Let's go to the first, to the Ten Commandments. What's the first commandment? It's found in Deuteronomy, by the way. What does it say? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Why does he give us a command that we should have no other gods before him when there is no such possibility? God does not mince words. He doesn't say things because he thinks we're bored. And I have to say something. Maybe human beings do that, but God, when he speaks, he has meaning to it. He has a purpose. The first commandment says that you shall have no other gods before him. You say, well, what he meant is carved images. That's not what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew says you shall have no other Elohims. Elohim is the word for God. So keep that in mind, because these understandings are important to understand what's going on in the world, has always gone on in the world, and is still going on, and the mess the world is in is directly linked to the misunderstanding of claiming things which the Bible never says, but we heard it, we filtered to whatever denomination we grew up in, but we are not the Berean God called us to be. Look it up in your word. One man once said, the Bible commands us to think and to think critically. But he said, you cannot think critically if you don't think. You think about that. How many of you know thinking critically is hard work? It hurts. The Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, who had such a big battle in the church, did not know exactly how to handle it. In chapter 4, verse 4, he said, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. He would never have said the gods of this world if there is no God of this world. To keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Needless to say, he's not talking about the God of this world, Jesus Christ, because he said the God of this world is against Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, these are just words which, you know, they don't mean a lot. I would disagree with you. Words have power. Words mean a lot. If you and I would have spiritual eyes, we would be able to not just understand what Paul is saying here, but we would actually see very spiritual, powerful beings. These are created beings. They're being called in the Bible Elohim, just like God, Almighty. He is not equal, or they're not equal to Almighty God, the creator of all things, yet those spiritual beings were created by God for a purpose. And the purpose is to rule and to reign with him. Now, before we get into the nitty-gritty stuff, Some of them are rebellious against God and do their own thing. Does that sound familiar? Paul said, one day those rebels will be replaced by you in the body of Christ, and you will rule and reign with him. So don't be a rebel. It is interesting to me that the occultists, the secular globalists, those who work to bring the global government into existence, do not just believe in another God than the God of the Bible. They worship the other God, and they know it. They know it. Everything that captures the headlines these days is directly linked to this behind-the-scene, or may say, behind-the-veil activity. Some of you maybe have never heard, but WikiLeaks is the famous key word to reveal all kinds of different emails somebody hacked and then sent it out. Through those emails, we found out that the highest office holders in the United States of America have seances and what they call spirit cooking, whatever that means, under the supervision of one of the most powerful witches on this earth, in the offices of the federal government, which we finance. They understand that there is a spiritual realm and a power that can be not just summoned, but can also be used for guidance, insight, and power. You and I cannot see demons. We cannot see fallen Elohims. We cannot see rebel gods. We cannot even see God. But we sure can see how they use people. That's visible to us. Let me give you a little background from world history. It may help you to see what's going on. Every student of history who has really gotten into it and wants to have a degree in world history has to study two revolutions that have shaped the Western culture over the last 300 years. It's the French Revolution and the American Revolution. Everyone has to do that. I have plenty of books. I'm fascinated by it. The French Revolution was from 1789 to 1799, while the American Revolution was 1775 to 1783, pretty much at the same time period. The American Revolution brought eventually the freedom which you and I, to a certain extent, still enjoy today. The French Revolution went in an entirely different direction. In the American Revolution, the people wanted to get free and get the inalienable right which God bestows upon human beings' images to be free and free indeed on this earth. In the French Revolution, they wanted to get rid of that God, that archaic God. In order for their revolution to succeed, they killed over 20,000 on the guillotines in Paris alone during the revolution to get rid of all those who were anti-government at that time. When they were all killed, primarily people who were able to think for themselves, chaos was the result in the French Revolution. And out of that chaos came a dictator by the name of Napoleon. Napoleon is the French name for Apollyon, which is in the Bible the spirit of the Antichrist. Everybody in the French language should have understood that immediately, what's going on. Well, world history tells us where that went. Contrasting conclusions because contrasting ultimate goals. Spiritual forces behind those revolutions were either pushing the people get to know God better or the people get rid of the God of the Bible with entirely different results. For those of you who may not know, soon after when Napoleon was done, the French government collapsed. I'm telling you this because there are forces in the United States of America who want to get rid of the God of the Bible. desperately. Just read the headline news. If you don't see it, you must be sleeping. If there will be a revolution in the United States of America, nobody can say it will never happen. We don't know. Only God knows the future. But if that would happen, and the forces that are at work right now would have a goal to get rid of the God of the Bible, therefore also persecuting the Christians, this government and this nation will collapse. History has proven it over and over. How important is the church? Without the church, there is no light. And without light, people don't know where to go. The reason why we have all our newspaper and internet news that our government has literally taken hostage and is using as a mouthpiece is so anti-Christian. And it's not just the last 2 years. We had it for years. We just were sleeping. You say, Pastor, I'm gonna leave the country and go somewhere else. Well, let me tell you something. We're talking about a spirit, a spiritual force that is behind all this that has an interest of global government, not American government only. Global. I read in the Bible that the time will come and there's no place to hide from that power. So no matter where you're going to dug out, you will not succeed. Do you know that a lot of people believe that that scenario could never happen in the United States of America? Well, let me share with you. Most of you don't read foreign newspapers because of language barriers. And by the way, Google's translator is not that good. I speak multiple languages. And when I look up something in Italian newspapers or in German newspapers, and I put Google Translate, I cannot believe what they come up with. You talk about being able to misunderstand most of it, that's about it. The algorithm is not that good yet, but they're working on it. Did you know that every post you put on Facebook is put in a data bank to figure out how you think, how you act, and what you like and what you dislike in order to write the algorithm that will eventually control you? These are not my words. These are Ray Kurzweil's words, former head of Google. Do you know that millions of 20 to 29 years of age young adults in America have canceled Facebook over the last 3 weeks because what they figured out, how their informations are being used? You know, the tech-savvy kids get off. The middle-aged and the older ones stay on it. If we would all cancel, Facebook would go broke overnight. We finance them. You see, I never sent them any money. The more traffic they have, the more advertising money they get. Economics. If you get off, they already lost $12 billion overnight when it came out what they did. 99% of all the people who quit Facebook were outside of the United States of America. The Americans like sheep being slaughtered. You're giving so much information to the global government. You say, I've never did that. I never wrote that there. Listen, anything you do is being controlled. There's a spiritual battle going on for the soul of the nations and for the soul of the people. You say, Pastor, you know, you scare me half to death. Yeah, it's intended. But I have good news for you. But I'm not there yet. But I want you to know, long before those modern witches, by the way, they are by the thousands getting together every month in the United States of America for one purpose, to put demonic spells on our duly elected government officials today, to bring the government down. If the government of the United States is coming down, my friend, we are in big trouble. As Christians or non-Christians, people just don't know. Long before modern witches came along, the ancient world held that the gods were often intimately involved in establishing the preeminence of kings. Courts, hierarchical system, political powers, and economic powers. For those of you who study history, you recognize that in the European hierarchical system and aristocratic circles, nobody could ever rise to a throne without being first anointed by the hierarchical spiritual leadership of the world. For those of you who may not know, there is not a president of the United States in the last 100 years that came into power that was not pre-approved by the global elite. Except the one we have right now. All hell broke loose. I don't know. But, guys, have your eyes open. What's going on? The spirit that was what we call the kingmakers in the old days has been resurrected. And we can watch in horror what our leaders are doing right now around the world. It's crazy. I'm talking about a structure that the global elite is not anymore afraid of to hide or to bring to the forefront. They don't care. Let me give you an example. In 2017, that was last year, the first ever cultural summit of the powerful G7 nations of the world, which represents about 65% of all the power in the world and the financial wealth. Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, United Kingdom, United States of America, and the European Union are in there. They came together in New York City, one block away from the former Twin Towers. To do what? To unveil a structure, an ark, that was a reproduction of a Roman victory arch built in Palmyra, Syria, which was 2 years earlier destroyed by ISIS, blown up. Because of the technology we have today with 3D printing, they did a replica of the exact same size and brought it to New York City. What's the purpose? I looked it up and it was brought out in the Israeli news. Adam Eliyahu Berkowitz was the speaker, and you can look it up anywhere. It's still on YouTube. This is what he said on May 29, 2017 in Breaking Israel News. I quote him. Originally, it stood in front of a Roman temple where pagans worshipped the Mesopotamian god Baal, also known as Baal, in a form of idol worship that figures prominently in the Bible. The original arch was destroyed by the Islamic State. But 1 year later, the Institute of Digital Archaeology used 3D printing technology to reproduce the 20-foot full-scale replica for the United Nations. And our leaders were under the arch, dedicating themselves to the work of Baal. You say, well, that was 2017. In 2 weeks, that same arch will be built in Washington, D.C. The last 4 days of September of this year, in order to celebrate the high holiday of the witches, which is Halloween. You can see it in the news then. It's going to be in the news in 2 weeks. Who is Baal? When God said to the Israelites, first commandment, I want you to have no other gods before me. What did the Israelites do before that? Baal worship. You and I need to study the Bible to find out what in the world is going on in the 21st century. You know, in the Old Testament, we know King Ahab, don't we? We heard of him. The leaders of the northern king of Israel, during that reign, they imported Baal worship from Sidonia. Sidonia is modern-day Lebanon. There, Ahab took Baal worship to please his wife and built an arch and a temple in Samaria. And he erected what they call Asherah poles, which are pretty much the same thing what the Indian natives have done in the United States of America, these totem poles worshiping demons. Same thing. But in order to bring and summon the power of the god of Baal, they had to worship them by sacrificing the newborn babies, which sounds very familiar. And they slaughtered them by the thousands, sacrificing them to Baal, or Baal, what the scholars would call it. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 33, these are the words of the prophet. Ahab, that's the same Ahab who brought Baal worship to Israel, did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. That's not a good name to have. That's not a good reputation to have. All the other kings before Ahab, and there were kings, they did crazy things. God said to his prophet, that is no comparison than what the guy did to bring Baal to Israel and let Israel worship the king. Like this, the king of these nations. Why is the arch of Baal coming to the United States of America? Well, if we would have spiritual eyes, we might would see something we wouldn't like to see at all. Well, we wouldn't like it for sure. There's a spiritual warfare going on that is way beyond our wildest dreams. It's going on right under our noses. The war is on, and the war, I make a statement, you can quote me on it, the war is globalism versus God's people. Let me say it again. The war is globalism versus God's people. I love Elijah. I don't know about you. Jesus said, well, yeah, Elijah will come back before I come. Remember that? I always wondered why. You know, the two prophets, they're going to show up and they preach against globalism. They get killed for it, but then the whole world will watch as God calls these two prophets back to life and raises them and brings them up into his spiritual home. And all the world will watch. I always wondered, all the world? Yeah, CNN will be there. You know, these guys will all be there. They will be shocked. The cameras will be turned off when they see that thing. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. I think that's why I like Elijah. Elijah was the man who comes out of nowhere in chapter 17. In chapter 18 of 1 Kings, in my Bible, it's page number 537 if you look for it. You see a perfect description of a battle between God and Satan. A spiritual battle, which is played out in the physical. See, one of the things you need to understand, every human being that moves against God, there is a spiritual battle behind moving those forces which you and I cannot see. Always accompanied. And we're going to look at that as we go deeper into the Word of God over the coming months. We all know that Elijah was the one who prayed for 3.5 years there was no rain. It was economic judgment. That's what that was. And even under Ahab's command, there was a man who loved God mightily. His name is Obadiah. And Obadiah was even so good that he was hiding prophets in caves and fed them so that Ahab could not get to him. And here all of a sudden, Elijah shows up out of nowhere. He was known as showing up and disappearing. And he shows up to Obadiah and said, Obadiah, go and tell your master Ahab. I want to see him. And Obadiah goes, oh no. Oh no, don't do that to me because I know how that is going to play out. You tell me to go and tell Ahab to meet you. By the time Ahab shows up, his trip is for nothing because you just disappear into thin air. My head is on the line. It's not going to happen, Elijah. Elijah said, Obadiah, go. Go tell Ahab, I make a promise to you. When Ahab shows up, I'll be there. In other words, I'm not scared of Ahab like you are. I know who sent me, and I know what my task will be. So the meeting will take place. And the first thing Ahab does is greeting Elijah with all the accolades anyone could ever get. Okay, Elijah, you are the troublemaker, the one who brings this nation to its knees. Does that sound familiar? We Christians. You are the one. We are in such trouble because of you, Elijah. And Elijah says, I have never troubled this nation. You, as the leader of this nation, you have troubled this nation. Because you have brought in Baal to worship. You are misleading people. You are leading people away from the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why you got these problems. Elijah said, enough of that talk. Let's meet at Mount Carmel. Ahab, tell all your people and all the leaders to go to Mount Carmel. Then in Mount Carmel, by the way, I want all your witches, all your priests, 400, they were dedicated just for Baal worship, which means they were the ones who killed the babies, and 450 other ones who were on Asher, they were worshiping at the totem poles. He said, I want all. Ahab said, oh yeah, that will be a showdown. You will get your fanny whipped on that one, Elijah. Finally, how many of you would like to go 850 against one? Just numerically speaking. So they all come. And we all know the story. You need to understand, Israel was at the brink of economic collapse, a mutiny and revolution. And God sent one man. And Elijah said to the priests, once they're all there, Mount Carmel, I want you to build an altar, you know, to your God. Because that's the God who gave you all the power before. So let's build an altar. Put it all together the way you want it. I'm not going to tell you what you have to do because I don't know your religion. You build it. Then you put your sacrifice on it. And then I build my one, and I put my sacrifice on it, and the God who answers by fire, that's the real God. They did. When you read the story, you think Elijah produced a YouTube video. You really think so. There's so much fun going on in there. You as Christians, you would have fun watching that YouTube. Could you imagine Elijah coming up to the prophets? They're working hard. They cutting themselves, you know, like so many people cut themselves. They cut themselves. That was Baal worship, by the way. Dancing, singing, shouting, falling over backwards, slain in the spirit. All these things happening as they dance around that altar. And Elijah shows up after they do that for 4 or 5 hours and said, hey, obviously, your God is not answering. I probably had to go to the bathroom. Elijah knows better. Oh, he says, oh, just yell a little bit. If you turn up the amp, he's going to show up. You got to do something to wake him up. These guys, they don't even take on Elijah. They did it. They yelled louder. They did all kinds of different things. It's in the Bible. You can read it in the 18th chapter. Trying to get Baal working. Who do you think withstood the mighty fallen angel Baal? He couldn't do anything. There's a war in the heavenlies. Baal would have loved to answer, but he couldn't. God sent his angels, his mighty army, and he couldn't do anything about it. So Elijah builds his altar. And remember, water was scarce. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. He pours water on the altar, makes trenches, fills the trenches. He said, this is not going to be, you know, a California wildfire. This is going to be a real fire from heaven. It's all done. God listens to a simple prayer. God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, show these people that you are the real God of Israel. Show it to them. Poof! And everything was consumed. No question. Now you and I in America say, okay, poof is here, guys. Go home. Think about it. Not Elijah. Elijah understood that he is dealing with demon-possessed people whom Satan has in a pretty good grip. He said, they are not sticking around. Elijah kills single-handedly all 850 that day. He turned into a butcher because he didn't want a single one to survive to mislead God's people any longer. How many of you would have to say, that's serious stuff? Elijah said, enough of that garbage. My nation, which is God's nation, is more important than these 850 false prophets. Done with. What would happen if you would have seen into the spiritual realm then? What would you think about it? You would have seen innumerable forces in the heavenly realms for God and against God. A spiritual battle of major proportions. And God won. God will always win, by the way. Why does Satan want to have his globalistic kingdom? Why do we want to resurrect Baal when Elijah single-handedly took him down? Well, you might take down the statue, but you can't take down the spirit behind it. I have good news for you. I promised it to you. There is a globalization plan in the Bible where the entire world is going to be turned into the Garden of Eden. That day is the day when we as Christians are going to celebrate. Because the right king is taking charge. The one who owns it, and the one who paid for it. When the return of Jesus Christ is fully in its manifestation on this earth, he will rule and reign. Listen, all the nations, none of the nations God has raised up will be vanishing. They all will still have the boundaries. They will be ruled. He will rule all the nations with righteousness and truth, the Bible said. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 11. If you're in Psalms, make a right turn, keep on going until you hit Isaiah 11. We read 9 verses and we wrap up with this. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and the branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. That's happening down here on earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and the little child shall lead them, the cow and the bear shall graze, the young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the others. Then they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's globalism according to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's not putting people in bondage. That's setting the nations free. That's setting the people free. That's even setting the animal kingdom free. Everything is free. Have you recognized that there are children there? They're being weaned? It's going on. It's going on, even in the kingdom. This world will be repopulated one day under the King. And the Garden of Eden shall be what God's first mandate told Adam. Go and multiply. Subdue the earth. He said the same thing to Noah again. Man has always missed it because man eventually started to believe the lie that more is better. The more people we have, the more powerful we are. I have to tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. The more God's people are empowered by the Holy Spirit, the more powerful your impact, the spiritual world and the physical world around you, for His glory. It's who is empowering you? That's the question, not the amount. I think less is more. Did you hear me? Less is more if God is in it. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. You are so good to us. Thank you for opening our eyes. There's much to be absorbed. I'm just asking you that you will give everyone who hears those words, thinks about it, absorbs it, lays it against your word, checks it out, check the facts, not taking it because I said so, but taking it because it is so. Lord, lead and guide each one. May we make decisions every day that brings glory and honor to you. Fear is not a spirit you have given us, but you have given us a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. May we use that mind. May we use it, Lord, to open your word and to study and to look around us and see what's going on. May our eyes be open to the things the world is doing. And Lord, may we pray more to you to give us the wisdom in every decision we make in this world, that not the world dictates, but you tell us where to go and what to do. May we be strong like Elijah was strong. May we be unmovable, unshakable. May your Holy Spirit guide us and lead us and protect us and give us the wisdom in every decision we make. Give us favors with you, favors with people. And Lord, may this nation be spared. I'm just asking you to give the leadership wisdom. Those who do Satan's bidding, Lord, shall be exposed. And those who do your bidding, Lord, shall stay firm, because there is nothing that can withstand you. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people can say, amen and amen.